With the idea of the lesson today, I'd like to take a look at just the way we might view things. And I would actually like to start off by telling a story, and this is kind of where I got the premise of this lesson today. About a year ago, I was interviewed by the United States Department of Education on a project I was working on. And during that interview, they kept asking me, we want you to start this as a 30,000-foot view, then a 15,000-foot view, a 10,000-foot view, 5, 100, 10. And each time, talk about what you're working on, but get closer and closer and closer and closer to the point. So I was really thinking about that today because let's say somebody asked a question, and this happens a lot. I work with a lot of people overseas, especially in Germany and China, and they always ask me the question. They say, well, where are you? So that might be a question that somebody asks. Where are you? Kind of talking about this 30,000-foot view. Now, if you're in business, that word is overused. It's overused a lot. When I started looking up the 30,000-foot view, it's like most hated business acronym. Yeah, and that was one of them. But I'm kind of just thinking about that this morning because this is used a lot. But I was thinking about this as essentially, if we are zooming out, what would this look like? So when I get the question, explain to me where you are right now. Could you do that from starting at a 30,000-foot overview? If somebody asked you that question, could you do that? Could you say, well, I'm on planet Earth. And then would you say, I'm in America for the next view? But the interesting thing is when you talk to people from overseas, they're like, yeah, America is huge. There's North and South America. Great job. You just named two continents. So more you would have to say, well, I live in the United States. People might say, well, that's great. United States is huge. Where do you live in the United States? Well, I live in Ohio. That's where I am right now. They're like, well, okay, I understand where Ohio is, but where at in Ohio? Well, I live in a little town called Waynesville. More specifically, we're in Corwin, even though it's in the Waynesville zip code. But more specifically, we're in Waynesville. But even further than that, we're here in this church building. But even further than that, since they have these new Super Zoom cameras, we're sitting in this seat. I'm just joking. I took that picture. So what if we were to do the same thing, but somebody said, Kyle, explain to me the Bible. Explain to me, from a really far out view, all the way down to 10 feet. And that's what we're going to attempt to do this morning. And then that's why I have this layout for everyone to follow along with me, because this is what I would like to try to do this morning, is to try to take this step back and look at the Bible. Now, I don't claim to be a scholar or anything like that, so that's why this is pretty simple. But I hope as we're doing this, you can think of things that might help you. We have done a lot of studies, and a couple studies we did a couple years ago, we actually had to write, what is the purpose of this book? I mean, if you just had to give one sentence, what was the purpose of just a book in the New Testament? That really helped me a lot, because when people start asking for verses, I could at least know the book that it's in. I might not remember the exact chapter and verse, but I could at least remember what book it's in. And that helped me take that step back from, okay, well, it's in the Bible, but more specifically, it's here. And I'd like to use that to kind of follow along with this morning. But if we were just to be asked that question, so I'm trying to set this up, is imagine yourself as being interviewed and somebody just asked, okay, break down the Bible for me. You only have 20 minutes. I need you to break down the Bible for me. So I would say, okay, let's step back even further. Let's give this a 5-mile view, right? 52,800 feet, 5 miles away. What is the Bible? The Bible, to the definition of the word Bible, is the word Bible comes from the Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, which means books in English. Because it's many books in one, it includes laws, stories, prayers, songs, and wise words. It's the Word of God. So if I was being interviewed, pretty simply, that's the first thing I would say. What is this? Well, it's a collection of books that has all these things from God's Word. And if I was going to put a verse with that, I may say something. You may have a different verse in your mind. Please feel free to write that down. But if I had a verse in my mind, I might say, well, everything comes from God. So let's look at 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21. And that says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So none of these works come from man. That this Bible is what the Holy Spirit instructed these men to do. And it consists of multiple books, all written at different time frames, that have all been collected into this work that we call the Bible. All right, so that's our 5-mile overview. Now, what if we were to step just a little bit closer? At 30,000 feet. Some might say, wow, so it's a collection of books. How many books are there? Well, how many books are there? Well, there's 66 books. I got them all listed up here. So there are 66 individual books written over a long time frame. And again, since this is a broad overview, I don't need to say exactly the time frames. I'm just saying that there's 66 books written, and they're broken down into two different groups normally. And the two different groups we normally give it is the Old Testament and New Testament. We have 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And then I just have them listed up here that in the list that you might commonly see in a regular Bible, just in that order that's kind of been laid out. This isn't a chronological order or anything. This is just laid out the way that you might see it in a current Bible. But we see these broken into two different parts like this. New Testament, Old Testament. We are going to get into Old Law, New Law type of stuff. The Old Testament can then be further broken down. Now, I'm just using the breakdown that I normally do whenever I study with somebody. You might have a different breakdown. But again, this is what I think about when I think about breaking down the Old Testament. I think about breaking it down into different sections. So these sections are the Law, History, Poetry, Prophets Major, Prophets Minor. So 5 different sections. I think of breaking down the Old Testament. Again, I'm not breaking this down a complicated way. Again, because I'm just giving an overview of what the Bible might be. The Old Testament can also, or the New Testament can also be broken down. Some way you might break that down is in 3 parts. We have the Gospels. We have the church history, and then we have all of the letters. As you can see, the letters take up a large chunk of the New Testament. And we can think about how important those letters are. So we kind of see that we have this collection of books. It's broken down into these 2 testaments. Then those testaments are broken down just a little bit more. So if somebody asked me what was a 30,000-foot view of the Bible, That's a pretty big overview of what the Bible is. Now let's take a closer look. Let's say we zoomed in further. We might need to take now a closer look about what these words are. We know that there's books here in the Bible, but now we need to take a look and see what some of these words are and the purpose of these. Now, I pulled this from 1 Corinthians 2. 2 through 12, and it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit whom is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So now we know that these things have been given to us for a reason. These are not man's words of wisdom, but these are God's words that we are to follow. So now as we're zooming in, we know we have these books, but now we can talk about the importance of these books. We need these words to teach us. We need these words to follow, because everything is from God. So if we were to take a look at the Bible as a whole, it starts off with that zoomed out picture of the world. That same picture that I used earlier. Because in the beginning, verse 1, Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Pretty simply stated. So if I'm giving this overview, God, these are God's words, and God made everything. Because in the beginning, God created everything. Everything was God's. Now, what happened? Well, there were some people that lived in a garden. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. So what happened there? That brought sin into the world. Something changed here in this view. We went from a collection of books down to the importance that every word is important to us. Now to a story that sin was brought into the world. In Romans 5 and 12 it says, therefore, just as though one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of all sin. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We can see from this view that God created the world, everything in it. And man was created. But then sin entered the world. And it changed the storyline. It changed our relationship with God. When sin entered the world, it changed that. Again, imagine yourself in an interview. You're talking to somebody that just asked you this question. And they're like, okay, wow. Well, tell me more. This story is starting to get very interesting. Say, okay, well, it's time to take it even one more step closer. Because when sin entered the world, God gave people a law. But more importantly, God set up a group of people. And that was the Jewish nation. So here in Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8, we have God's chosen people. In Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8, it says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. Again, back to the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought out with a mighty hand the Redeemer redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So we have these collection of books. These collection of books have series of stories. We have 66 books. We know that God created everything. And we know that sin entered the world. But God gave the law to this group of people. Well, how many laws did he give them? Well, he actually gave them a lot of laws, but we can first talk about the first 10. Not to give away one of the answers to the questions. But he gave them laws. He gave laws to these special people. Because it says, be careful to observe them in Deuteronomy 5. And 5 it says, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes of judgment which I speak to you in the hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. Now we refer to these as the Ten Commandments. Now we are still talking about the old law. Because now we have the earth God created. We have everything that was created in it, the people there. We have this special people that was set up by God to follow a certain law, but it really wasn't freely available for everyone. And these people were still bound by sin. So therefore, God had to do something else. He had to have another way that everybody could have forgiveness of sins. And how did he do that? Well, he sent his son. Though the world, again, the world, through him might be saved. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So again, just to recap, God made the world. He made everything in the world. He has his people in the world, a chosen people. But they were still separated by sin. So God had to send his son to fix that. Again, this is a very far view out of the Bible. As you can imagine, I am skipping thousands of things. But again, if I only have 20 minutes to mention this to somebody, giving them a quick overview, this overview of what this looks like. So if we were to zoom in even further and have a 5,000 foot overview, now we need to be even more specific about what we're saying. Because now we know that there is an Old Testament, a New Testament. We've got multiple works, multiple books, multiple chapters. We have everything that's going on. Now we need to take even a closer look at this. Because I just mentioned a man named Jesus. Well, in order to get this whole view, this whole image of everything, now we need to learn more about him. But if I was going to tell somebody that we needed to learn more about him, where would I tell them to turn? I think it'd be easy. I could pick out four books real quick that would tell somebody where to turn. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm just using this as a reference because it's the life, teachings, and death of Christ. If I'm still just giving an overview of what this would look like, we know that now Christ enters the world. Everything in the Old Testament, everything that happened to God's people are leading up to this person. All of the prophecies, everything that is set up, all of the works of the Old Testament now is leading up to this person, the importance of it. So now that we've covered a high overview of those sections, we're getting now into the important piece of zooming in on what this Bible looks like. Because we're still talking about all the books and coming down into one thing. Because now we have Jesus coming into the world, and we know that he was born in Matthew 2:2. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men of the east came to Jerusalem." We know that he was sent by God. And we know that he taught in the synagogues. In Luke 4:15 it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout the surrounding region. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all." So Jesus came into the world from God. He came and he taught. He spread the word. He taught others and they followed him. In Matthew 4:18 it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. And they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him." So now we have Jesus being born, coming into the world. We have him understanding God's works and then teaching and reading in the synagogues. And we know that Jesus started his sermons and his preachings and his teachings, and he had people follow him. They were called apostles. He set up these apostles to follow him and teach his word. But he did more than just that. He even healed the sick and the lame. He did these miraculous wonders that nobody could explain other than explaining that he was from God. In Matthew 4:23-24 it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kind of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him to all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed and paralyzed, and he healed them. So now we have Jesus coming into the world. We have him teaching others to follow him, setting up what this is. Now, if I'm telling somebody this story and they've never heard of what the Bible is, this should be a very interesting story. Because we're starting out with God making everything. We have these 66 books that are laid out for us to have an understanding of what happened. We have God's chosen people that were given a law to follow. We have now God's Son coming into this earth, who is an amazing person that is healing the sick, that is teaching people all of these things and spreading the word. And it is a good word. It's happy. People want to be a part of this. So what happened to him? What happened to Jesus? This great man that entered the world, this Son of God, what happened to him? Well, when we view in even more, we see this terrible tragedy of what actually happens to him. Just like anything that would enter this world that is beautiful and pure, the people gather together and kill him. What a sad story. So as we zoom in even more, we know what happened to Jesus. Because Jesus is stood on trial, and he goes before the governor. Matthew 27:11, it says, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Jesus said to him, 'It is as you say.'" This person that came into the world, spreading love and Christianity, healing the sick and doing all these amazing things, went on trial for those things. He went on trial for doing the things that we would welcome anybody into this earth to do. But guess what? They killed him for that. And in Matthew 27, continue in Matthew 27, in verse 35 through 37, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Matthew 27:35-37. "Then they crucified him. They divided his garments, casting lots that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets." Now remember, I talked about the prophets. I talked about those Old Testament books that all of this was in. "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothes they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him: 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" So he died on the cross. He went through all this pain and suffering, even though he did no wrong and he did not sin. He went through all of this suffering for us. For us. Because he died and lifted up his spirit in Matthew 27:50. "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yelled up his spirit." But that's not where the story ends. That's not the end of the Bible. If we're still following along with this overview, I'm still not at a 10-foot overview yet. We're still looking at this from a distance. Now we're directly looking at what happened to him. He died on the cross. He came in the world. Everything that all of these books were about. He died on the cross for the remission of our sins. But he did not lay in the tomb for very long, because he is risen. In Matthew 28:5-6, it says, "But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay.'" And as we know, Jesus was risen. He died on the cross, but rose. But before he ascended to heaven, He left his apostles a very, I was going to say strict, a very straightforward message about what they were to do. And this message can be found in Matthew 28, 28 through, that doesn't work. I need to fix that. I can't read backwards. I can read backwards. That's how I normally read, but that's not meant to be backwards. 28, 18 through 20. Yeah. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So now we still have these collection of books. We know that God created the world. He had his chosen people that he gave the law to. He sent his son. His son died for everyone, not just the chosen people. He died for everyone, and now everyone now has that opportunity to be saved and call heaven home. Now this last step, these last few verses, this last few slides, we are taking that last step on our Zoom, and now we are now giving a 10-foot overview. Now I hope through this lesson that maybe you guys have fought through this and said, well, you know what, Kyle, I would use this verse or I would have done that. Great. Great. I hope when you talk to people and they may be confused about something, you can help people narrow down their focus. Because we do a lot of studying here at Waynesville, and it is wonderful. And we know the ins and outs of the Word. But if I'm out helping other people in the world, what I have just said this morning may have overwhelmed them. There is a lot going on with these stories. But if we are to continue this and bring it to a close, we know that Jesus told the apostles to go and do. So that's what they did. In Acts, we have the apostles preaching the word, setting up the first churches, and establishing Christianity. We even had that they are first called Christians in Antioch. We know that this is what happens after Jesus dies. They do what he's instructed. Now it's up to us. Now we've zoomed all the way in to us. Now it's up to us for this responsibility. If I was still giving somebody an overview of the Bible, it would be about now our responsibilities, where we take it from here. This now belongs to us. And we are now responsible for those things. Because we have our responsibilities. Now, I just gave some general verses here. We know we are to follow his word from John 14 and 15. We are to gather together and take the Lord's Supper and teach and save the lost. I gave just some general verses here. But we know that that is what we has been given to us. That the Bible isn't just something for us to read, it's something for us to action upon. That we know it's God's Word, but we don't just sit and study it. It has an action, it has responsibilities. And we are following His law. Because we know if we do, it brings upon eternal life. In Romans 6 and 13 it says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's how we started this. Our farthest zoom out was talking about how sin entered the world, and with sin came death. And now we're looking at overturning that, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So now we can talk about eternal life. And how are we to get that eternal life that has been set for us? If you think about just this one passage here in Romans 6 and 23, it sums everything up that I have said this morning. We have sin entering the world. Sin separating us from God. It's that division between us. How do we fix that division between us? And I probably should have broken this down further. I probably should have said this is like the point blank view. Just right up on you. Because we have one thing that saves us. This is directly at us. If we were zoomed all the way out, like I showed earlier where the picture is, and I zoomed in all the way at the church, even all the way down into the seat. This is at us right now. 1 Peter 3:21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of people could quote that. I use it often. But again, if I think of that overview, and we zoom down over the overview of the Bible, the importance of all the scriptures and passages, the importance of the Old Testament setting up the coming of Jesus to the New Testament, Jesus' life and death, now it comes to where we have to do action, where we take it from here for the next generations. It is on us to do that. That's why it views all the way in on us as individuals. I hope this lesson has been profitable today. This lesson had the most slides of any lesson that I've ever put together, by the way, if anybody was keeping track. There was 43 slides. I talked to Brock the other day, and Brock was like, man, I barely get through 5 slides. I was like, you talk too much, man. But it zoomed all the way in on us. And if you would like to heed the gospel call and be baptized with that good answer, a good conscience towards God, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.